We began our study on Daniel last week, and we spent a large portion of our time talking about the historical context. We looked at several of the significant historical events leading up to Daniel and the various Israelites in captivity in Babylon, and we saw a little bit about the Assyrian captivity among Israel and the Assyrian nation, their rise and fall in power, and then the rise of the Babylonian Empire. So we looked at a lot of the historical events and made note of how it's interesting to see how you can go back and you can read about these events in history as they're recorded, but you can also go over to the Bible, and we read several passages last week seeing how Judah was involved with the rise of the Babylonian nation and then in the fall of Judah as they were taken away into captivity. And it's interesting to see how the Bible really corroborates history and vice versa. But we're going to delve into this particular aspect of the book, and I didn't realize how much controversy there was surrounding the book of Daniel until I really got involved in this study. Come to find out that Daniel is one of the most controversial books, and you're going to understand why in just a moment if you haven't yet. But one of the largest controversies regarding the book among scholars today, both liberal scholars, conservative scholars, Christians, and Jews, is the dating of the book of Daniel as to when it was written. Now, there are primarily two views as to when the book of Daniel was written. One of those being, as you can see there, 165 B.C., which we'll refer to as the later date. The other being 530 B.C., around 530 B.C., which is the early date. Now, the early date is primarily held by the church and by the Jews, while as the later date, 165, is held primarily by your liberal scholars, your atheists, your agnostics, and if you looked into this topic to any degree, I'm sure you probably understand why. So we'll just go ahead and open the question up for discussion, and then we're going to look at some of my thoughts on that as to evidence for which one of these dates we want to attribute the book of Daniel to be written to. So would anyone like to share anything that they've discovered or take a shot at when the book of Daniel was written? This is one of our thought questions, so it was one of the harder ones. Okay.
And mainly because if you go with 165, it removes the portion that would be considered prophecy because the history is in.
Okay.
Now, a recording of events that already happened is just prophecy. I believe it's most of the prophecy that's fulfilled.
Okay. And Tom is exactly right. This is why the liberal scholars and many people who read the book of Daniel attribute the date to 165. Because Daniel is a book that contains much historical prophecy, not just the prophecy regarding God and his dealing with the Jews, but as we're going to see, as Daniel begins to interpret these dreams and as he begins to make these prophecies and make known this mystery that various kings and individuals are going to be shown, you're going to see not only is Israel involved in this, but there are also other nations involved as well. The history and the fate of the Babylonian Empire and the three consecutive nations, the world powers that are going to rise after Babylon falls, that being the Medes and Persians, the Greeks, and then finally the Romans. And so you've got there some 300, 400, 500 years of historical prophecy. Now, if the book of Daniel was written around 165 B.C., as Thomas said, that removes from it that predictive element of prophecy, thereby making the book of Daniel simply a historical book, because these things are interpreted, these events are interpreted to just be history rather than predicted prophecy provided by God through Daniel. So that's really why there's so much controversy around the dating of this book. So what we're going to do is just take a few minutes, and I'm going to provide some of the evidences that I found in this study, because I agree with Tommy that the book of Daniel should be dated around 530 as to when it was written. This statement was made, and you know, if you go back to the book of Deuteronomy 18, verse 22, a very obvious statement was made, and this is regarding the nature of prophecy, and essentially what God was saying, he was laying down the criteria for determining a true prophet from a false prophet. Now, what would be the mark and sign of a true prophet? Do you remember? It's really quite obvious, and we may look at this. All right. The prophecies come to pass. So essentially, you go back and you read Deuteronomy 18:22. If the prophet speaks these words and they come to pass, then they're a prophet of God. And if they don't, then they're not. However, this really is the deciding factor, and this is the determining evidence that we have to bear in mind. If Daniel spoke these things prior to them actually taking place, and then these events that he's foretelling occurs, then that validates, the events that occur validate the fact that Daniel is a true prophet. And that's the importance of determining when the book was written. Because if it was written before these events occurred, then that does give some evidence as to the predictive nature of this prophecy. However, it was written after these events occurred, or some of these events started occurring, then that makes Daniel nothing more than just a history book. In fact, this statement was made, and I'll share it with you. It's by B.K. Walt. If Daniel's God was able to predict the future, then there is reason to believe that the course of history is completely under Yahweh's sovereignty. On the other hand, if the predictions are fraudulent, then one must remain agnostic about the God of Daniel. So, since everything really in this book, or a lot in this book, hinges on the fact of, is Daniel's prophecy predictive in nature, or is it historical in nature? Since so much hinges on that, we're going to take some time to look at some of what I find strong evidences for the early date, or the date that Daniel was written around 530. We'll just start with this, and this being the most obvious. Whenever you look at some of the internal evidence, and you consider those three passages up there, Daniel, as he is recording his prophecy, his dreams, and his visions, and an account of what happened to him, he gives us a time frame or a time stamp that we can look and we can corroborate with history. You go and you read Daniel chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, during the third reign of the year of King Jehoiakim. So, you go back and you find out in history, well, when was Jehoiakim king over Judah? And then you can make a determination as to when Daniel was saying he's writing these words. And in chapter 2, in verse 1, he gives us another historical time stamp during the second year of the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. And so we can date that to around, I believe, 504, since Nebuchadnezzar took the throne in 505 in Babylon. And in chapter 7, in verse 1, he identifies what was taking place. These things are occurring. These visions are being interpreted during the first year of the reign of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. So the successor to Nebuchadnezzar's throne was Belshazzar, and Daniel gives for us a timestamp. So if you simply look at the internal evidence of the book itself, Daniel is attributing his writing to around the time of the 530 BC date. So in and of itself, that evidence means absolutely nothing. Because if you don't have anything else that can validate this claim, anybody could say, well, I wrote this at such and such time. And if there's no more evidence than that, then the claim is hardly believable. Kind of like Jesus said, you know, don't believe I'm the Messiah just because I say I am. He points out additional testimony, additional witnesses that validates his claim to be the Messiah. And as we're going to consider a few more things in Daniel, I think that's what we're going to find. In addition to the internal evidence that Daniel himself provides through the dating of the book, we have for us comparative literature. When you consider the book of Daniel and how it was written, there was discovered in the 5th century B.C., or not in the 5th century B.C., but there was discovered later on some historical documents, what was called the Elephantine Papyri, that were identified as to having been written in the 5th century B.C. Now, what they do is they show us a little bit about the style of writing, the linguistic style, and some of the language that was used. And the book of Daniel, in its original, can be taken, and it is comparative to those papyri that were found dating back to the 5th century B.C. You see a lot of similarities and a lot of textual and linguistic style in the book of Daniel that falls in place with some of those documents that have been identified around the 5th B.C. Now, the real power that possesses, if you consider how the English language has changed in just the time that I've been alive. Words have changed. The style of writing and the style of speaking has changed. There are phrases that people use in common tongue today in the English language that would not have been understood 50 years ago. Some maybe even 30 years ago. And you consider 350 years difference in the writing, or the attributing of the book of Daniel 165, and then finding that it actually lines up with some of the linguistic styles of writings that have been identified and dated back to the 5th century, that gives evidence that Daniel was written during the 5th century. So you can look at comparative literature And Daniel falls into the linguistic and textual writing style of older literature, not the 165. And if that doesn't make any sense to you, go back and you try to read the 1611 version of your King James Bible. That was about 400 years ago. And you see if you can make heads or tails of the writing style, and if you find that challenging, you may be able to understand a little bit of it, but the majority of it you're not going to understand. And so you can see how language changes and morphs through the years and evolves, and the book of Daniel aligns with the writing styles of documents that have been found in the 6th century rather than that of the mid-2nd century. So you've got their comparative literature that corroborates evidence for Daniel being written at that earlier date. You've also got any questions along the way, just feel free to interrupt me. We're going to be looking at several somewhat more technical arguments, so if I'm unclear on any of this, just feel free to stop me and ask a question, or if you'd like to add something else, that'll be more than welcome as well. But considering the canon argument, the book of Daniel appears in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Now, if you take a date of Daniel being written around 165, what you find out is documents that were written around that time period, the 165, the 125 B.C., time period, they are not translated and included in the Septuagint translation of the Bible. For instance, there was a book called the Book of Maccabees that was written around 200 B.C. that is not included in most of the Septuagint translations. Because what had happened, not enough time had passed for it to be determined that this book truly needed to be included within the Jewish canon. So they rejected that very often based on the fact that it just wasn't written late enough. Now you go and you read through the Septuagint, what you find out is that Daniel is included. So once again, evidence supporting the fact that Daniel was written at a time late enough or early enough so that it would unquestionably be considered within the canon that the Jews possessed. There is some argumentation made, however, against the book of Daniel per the Masoretic division of the canon. And the Masoretes were a group of people, Jewish scribes and scholars, that just recorded history. Some of them recorded copies of the Bible and preserved those, and then just the history of the Jews. And according to the Masoretic division of the canon, they broke down the Old Testament into three different categories. And you can see up there the law, the prophets, the writings. Now, you look at where they put Daniel in up there in their division of the canon. Well, Daniel's not found in the prophets. Rather, Daniel is, according to the Masoretic division of the canon, Daniel's found there in the writings. And so what people do who want to oppose the legitimacy of the early date of the book of Daniel, well, they use this canon here and say, well, why did the Masoretes include Daniel in the writings rather than the prophets if his book truly was accepted as a book of prophecy? However, what they don't really point out is that the Masoretic canon came into being around 700 A.D. or 800 A.D. We can get a much more reliable sense of where the book of Daniel was placed if you consider someone much long before who lived closer to that time period. Here's a statement that's made by Josephus regarding the Hebrew canon, and I don't know how much you know about Josephus. Josephus was a Jewish scholar, a Jewish historian, and he had absolutely no affiliation with Christianity. He was taken prisoner by the Romans, and he just served as a Jewish historian recording the Jews' history. And this is a statement that's made by him regarding the canon. Now remember, he doesn't embrace Christianity or any of those things, but this is what he says regarding the Jewish canon. And unlike the Masoretic canon that was provided around 700 or 800 A.D., 800 years after all of these things are happening, Josephus lived from 37 A.D. to 100 A.D., much closer to the time period when he would be able to actually determine when the Jewish canon and what was legitimately classified were. And this is what he says regarding the Jewish canon. He says, "We do not possess myriads of inconsistent books conflicting with each other. Our books, those which are justly accredited, are but 2 in 20 and contain the record of all time. Of these, 5 are the books of Moses, comprising the law and the traditional history from the birth of man down to the death of the lawgiver. From the death of Moses until Artaxerxes, who succeeded Xerxes as king of Persia, the prophets subsequent to Moses wrote the history of the events in their own times in 13 books. The four remaining books contain hymns to God and precepts for the conduct of human life. So Josephus outlines for us from 37 to 100 AD what the Jewish canon looked like. And he was a Jewish historian, so if anyone was qualified to know, it would be him. And this is how he breaks down the canon in contrast to how the Masoretes did. He has there the same five books of law. However, the writings and the prophets, there's a significant difference. He includes many of the books that the Masoretes included in the writings. He includes those in the classification of prophets. And you see there alongside them is Daniel. So the evidence of the canon that Josephus provides is much closer to the original canon that would have been known by the Jews rather than that Masoretic division that came about some 800 years later. And so you consider the integrity of both of those and the validity of both of those sources, you would put more confidence in the one that was written closer to the period of time that contained the facts that you're wanting to know. Because they're living in a generation where they would be more likely to know, and their knowledge of the particular details that they were going to be writing about couldn't be trusted. So it's obvious to me that in the instance of those two occasions that I would go with and I would trust the canon that Josephus provided and the breakdown of how the Jews viewed the writings of the Old Testament. And within the prophets, you do have Daniel. So, comments or questions on that? Yes, sir. Okay. I might have skimmed over it in some reading, but I don't know a whole lot about it in and of itself. I would imagine it's some sort of Babylonian historical document that somewhat corroborates the book of Daniel or perhaps Daniel the prophet himself. So I'm not real sure. But you know, I don't make these statements arbitrarily. One of the things that we're going to need as we consider this is just simple logic. So would you trust someone who lived 1,000 years after an event occurred, or someone who lived 100 years after an event occurred, to give you a more accurate account of what actually happened? Well, logic would tell you you would trust the one that lived closer to the time of the event if they're both writing from a neutral perspective. And like I said, Josephus had no affiliation with Christianity and the predicted prophecy that's going to come about and be fulfilled per the Christian generation. So he wouldn't have that bias that might cause him to misrepresent the facts. So logical evidence points to me that Josephus's provision of the Jewish canon should be trusted rather than the Masoretic, which had changed and evolved through 800 or 900 years. So that's obvious to me. But you know, I've not heard of the Babylonian. What'd you call them? Chronicles? The Babylonian Chronicles. Does anyone else know anything about those? I didn't come across anything like that in my reading in detail. However, I may look a little more into that and see if that's pertinent. We'll maybe discuss that next week. But you have there Josephus' canon that provides for us the book of Daniel. And once again, that's strong evidence to the fact that Daniel was written on that earlier date, that 530 BC date. The historical recognition, and that's exactly what Tommy just said, Josephus, who lived most closer to the events and the writing of this actual book, attributed Daniel's writing to the early date, the date sometime around the 6th century. So that's, once again, more evidence for us to consider in the dating of the book. Now, the Dead Sea Scroll findings, and you know, I found this particular aspect of my study in preparation for the class to be really faith-building. You know, through times and through study of the Bible, you come across certain things or you make certain connections or you make certain realizations that just in that moment, this is absolutely perfectly the way that it was supposed to be. And I'm absolutely 100% without a doubt, I can see God's hand involved with this. And this is kind of what I was feeling whenever I was studying this. You know, I've always just attributed the book of Daniel to be within the canon and written by Daniel the prophet, according to the date that it was supposed to be, because that's what I've been told. But now, having looked at the evidence, having weighed the pros, having weighed the cons, it's obvious to me that the book of Daniel and the predictive prophecy and all of the things that are involved within that book that demonstrate the inspiration of God and the foreknowledge of God, in this moment it was just crystal clear. And so I hope that you can appreciate that for what it's worth as we consider some of the evidences that demonstrate what we always believe. Not just believing for believing's sake, but that demonstrate and give us logical evidence to make certain conclusions about what we perhaps have taken for granted in times past. Some of the Dead Sea Scroll findings went a long way in validating the early date for the book of Daniel. Among the Dead Sea Scroll findings, there were 8 copies containing various portions of the book of Daniel. Now, what's interesting is carbon dating has put some of those writings back to as early as 125 B.C. So carbon dating, that's what you're atheist, and that's what you're agnostic, and that's what you're a person who is in opposition to God's Word and those things. That's the kind of technologies that they like to use. So carbon dating put some of the scrolls of Daniel that were found among the Dead Sea Scrolls back to the time period of 125 B.C. There were certain quotations from a particular scroll. It's called Florilegium. That was said to be written around 125, and it's pieces from Daniel 12 and from Daniel chapter 11. And they are identified as being written by Daniel the prophet. Now, would it make logical sense for Daniel to be accepted and recognized as a prophet if these writings and his prophecy was made only 40 years prior to? That is, these scrolls from 125 that were found recognized Daniel as a prophet. If Daniel made these prophecies only 40 years before, then would he thus, 40 years later, already be accepted as a prophet? Well, you go back and you consider, what were the signs, what was the identifying feature of a prophet? What the things that he spoke came to pass? If Daniel had only lived 40 years previously, people among that generation would know that Daniel wrote this and it started circulating this around 165. And there's not been enough time passed to determine whether these things have actually come to pass. Rather, they would have been able to identify them as history rather than as prophecy. So these Dead Sea Scroll findings that were found, and among them pieces of Daniel that recognized him as the prophet in 125, go a long way in helping us understand that the book of Daniel just simply could not have been written around 165, because he was accepted by the Dead Sea Scroll community among the times that their writings were identified, the 120 B.C. time. He was acknowledged and accepted as a prophet, which frankly that would not have been enough time to have passed for them to have recognized that role if it was only simply a difference of 40 years. And I believe this is the last point we're going to make on this particular topic, is the Dead Sea Scroll linguistics. That is, some of those writings that were found among the Dead Sea Scrolls, they were known to have been written sometime between 170 B.C. and 50 A.D. And once again, we previously looked at comparative literature, and if Daniel was written around 165 B.C., then some of its language, some of its style, some of its prose would be identifiable to what was discovered among the Dead Sea Scroll findings. And what we find out is, as they read through the Dead Sea Scrolls and analyze, and people much smarter than me doing this, they analyze the linguistic style, the textual, the words, and the things like that. Daniel didn't line up with those. But if Daniel was written at 165, when many liberal scholars and agnostics and atheists claim it to be written, then it would be a similar style of writing. However, the fact that it doesn't, once again, gives us evidence to the fact that it couldn't have been written during that time period, or it would have looked like all of the other documents that were produced and all of the other writings that were produced in that 165 B.C. time period. So, as you consider this, this to me points logically to the fact that Daniel simply could not have been written around that 165 B.C. time. The language that's used, the style that's used, as you consider the Jewish canon, and how Daniel was considered and recognized as a prophet among the Jews at that point in time, 165 B.C. simply would not have been enough time to have passed to give evidence that Daniel was a prophet. When you consider the evidence, and when I consider all of those things, it seems obvious to me that the book of Daniel could not have been written around the 165, but rather was written prior to that. And that's strong evidence, because the quote that we looked at earlier said, if Daniel truly was making these prophecies, historical prophecies that history corroborates, if he was making those statements and then they were coming to pass, then truly Daniel's God is the sovereign God of the universe. And as we consider the evidence, that's what I see. And it validates in my mind not only the book of Daniel and its claim to be written under inspiration, but the power that it possesses and the evidence that it shows us that God was truly behind this work. So, comments or questions on any of the evidences that we've considered for the dating of the book? Not only do we have those external evidences, but we find the book of Daniel validated by New Testament. And question six that I left you with, list some verses in the New Testament where Daniel is quoted or referenced. Anybody like to share some of the ones that they came across? Okay. What was it? Do you remember what event he was referring to there? I've got those. I've got those on the screen, I believe. Matthew 24 right there. I think that's also in Mark chapter 12 or 13. Okay. Jesus is speaking here. And Jesus, the statement he makes, and this is where he's warning about the pending destruction of Jerusalem. He says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. And so, as we get to the book of Daniel and delve into that text, chapter 9 is the chapter that deals, chapter 9 is the 70 weeks. The abomination of desolation takes place elsewhere, I believe, afterward. But he attributes what Daniel is going to speak about, this prophecy, this abomination of desolation that's going to come upon God's people. Jesus himself attributes this writing to Daniel. In fact, it's in Daniel 12 where the statement's made. This is what Daniel says. From the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So everything else aside, Daniel references the abomination of desolation that's going to come to pass upon God's people in chapter 12. Jesus in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, and he might even reference it in Luke, speaks of the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. So Jesus himself attributes Daniel as being the author of the words of the book of Daniel. So, any other New Testament passages that anyone noticed?
Well, the one you just said was in Mark 14 and 26.
Okay.
And it was pretty much the same quote as Matthew.
Mm-hmm. It's very similar where Mark records Daniel speaking, or Jesus referencing the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. So, those are two particular instances, and it's all throughout the New Testament. But not only that, but you can understand the impact of the book of Daniel and some of the language that's used and the influence that it had on New Testament writing. Daniel chapter 3, you have the event with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which we'll delve into when we get there. But this is how Daniel describes what's occurring. There's King Nebuchadnezzar speaks. He says, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Now, that phrase is later employed by Mark as he's writing, giving an account of what Jesus warns of. And as he's talking about, in the book of Matthew, he talks about the statement made by Jesus, and Jesus said that these people are going to be cast into this furnace of fire. Well, they'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So this imagery, this historical account of what Daniel witnessed, where Nebuchadnezzar has this literal fiery furnace that he's going to cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and any that did not bow down to this God, he's going to cast them into that. Jesus borrows that use of language as he's trying to describe for the people a terrible condemnation that's going to come upon those that disobey and are disobedient, and he says that those are going to be cast into this furnace of fire. And so you can see the language of the book of Daniel that's utilized and referenced throughout the Old Testament. Here's another instance in Daniel chapter 7 where Daniel says, and Daniel uses this phrase, coins this phrase, that Jesus later on takes on and identifies as being himself. Daniel 7:13, he says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days and they brought him near before him. That's made by Daniel in Daniel 7:13. Jesus identifies himself as the Son of Man, and uses almost the exact same phraseology. The signs of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven. All the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So once again, he's leaning on some of the language and the figurative language of Daniel to identify himself in an event that's soon going to be occurring among the Jewish people. And I say all of that to show that the New Testament writers accepted Daniel as a legitimate book, as being written by Daniel the prophet, as being predictive in nature, and thus they borrow some of the imagery that he uses, they reference some of the statements that he made, and they attribute that to the prophet Daniel. Do you know what one book utilizes language and quotations from Daniel more so than any other? The book of Revelation. I think there are over 70 instances where there's similar language, or similar phrases, or similar events, or similar dreams and visions that are shown to John that Daniel himself first spoke of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before. So Revelation utilizes the language and quotations of Daniel more frequently than any other. Just for your own reference, in Daniel 7:9, his description of the Ancient of Days can be compared to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14. In Daniel chapter 1 also, there's the occasion where Daniel says, "Let me and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, let us be tested for 10 days on these vegetables and this water," in contrast to the king's diet, "and see if we're any fairer." So you've got that idea of being tested for 10 days that Daniel references. And then you turn over to Revelation 2:10. We all know that verse, that testing that was going to take place. "He who remains faithful unto death is going to receive the crown of life." Well, those people that were to remain faithful were going to be tested for 10 days. So just as Daniel and his friends were tested for 10 days, and in Revelation, of course, it has not the 10-day, literal 10-day interpretation, but rather this period of time that's going to occur where there's going to be trials and tribulations come upon the church. But you have him once again borrowing language from the book of Daniel. So as you consider the evidence and you consider the significance of this, that Jesus and the inspired writers of the New Testament accepted the book of Daniel as a book of prophecy, as having been written by Daniel, and as you consider the evidences outside of the Scripture itself, it seems very strong to me that Daniel was written not the late date that many of the liberal scholars might claim that it was written, and that they might desire it to be written, but rather that it's the early date that demonstrates the predictive power of Daniel's prophecy and the inspiration and the hand of God involved in that. So, any comments or questions? We about ran out of time. And we're going to look at, to me, one more validation next week that is really strong. And this is really where it hit home with me the hardest, as to seeing the hand of God involved in the inspiration of this book. We're going to consider next week this question. So if you haven't been able to answer it, don't answer now. I know you all know the answer, but don't answer it now. But we'll finish up our introduction next week with this question. Considering the two languages that the book of Daniel is written in, going to try to have questions provided Wednesday night for chapter 1. I've got a feeling we're not going to be able to use all of our time in regard to this particular aspect. So we're probably going to bring our introduction next week to a close and begin chapter 1, just jump right into chapter 1. And I'll try to have those questions provided in the back on Wednesday night for everyone to grab a copy and have plenty of time to read and prepare for that. So, anyone have anything they'd like to add, any questions they'd like to ask as we bring our class to a close?